December 1, 1894. Respond to Divine Love. Ellen G. White. The Bible is a revelation of the divine will and purpose of God. Those who follow its teachings are doers of the words of Christ, and by this means they bring solid timbers into their character building. Let us heed the words of inspiration, which exhort us to be pitiful, be courteous. Boaz represented the character of the Christian gentleman. Like Abraham, he commanded his household after him to keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. He showed courtesy to all his servants. And as he passed among his workmen in the field, he said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Here is a lesson for both masters and servants, for employers and the employed. The servants are strengthened in their hearts to do righteously, to be faithful to masters who manifest respectful kindness and courtesy towards them. Christians should be the most courteous people in the world. We have not been made merely to please ourselves, to center our thoughts, our praise, our gifts, and offerings upon ourselves. As we have opportunity, we are to do good unto all men, and especially unto those who are of the household of faith. The poor and suffering who believe in Jesus Christ have the first claim upon our thoughts and ministry. They have the first claim to words of consolation and gifts of comfort. It is a Christian's duty to seek to help them for Christ's sake, doing good works in the name and for the love of Jesus, loving souls for whom Christ died. At the last great day, when each case has been decided for eternal life or death, that which has been done to bless or to curse suffering humanity will be found to be registered as done unto Christ Himself. The Son of God has identified His interest with that of suffering humanity. If we are partakers of His divine nature, we shall have His mind and represent His character in deeds of love and mercy toward others. Those who claim to be Christians misrepresent Christ to the world when they live to gratify themselves, to indulge every wish, to purchase unnecessary things for their imaginary wants, and pass by those who are in real want. They exalt themselves to a place of supremacy and say in their heart, "I am better than you. Your servile work makes you of less value in society than myself." It is the duty of every human agent, whether rich or poor, to be a channel through which the Lord can send His beneficence flowing to the needy, the oppressed, and suffering for whom He died. A weighty responsibility rests upon all who name the name of Christ, for to them it is given to receive power to become the sons of God, to act as members of the royal family, children of the heavenly King. Through the gift of God to the world, there is provision made that all who believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, what love! What matchless love! Should we not train the lips to speak forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light? If this work of rich grace has been wrought for us, have we not abundant reason to praise God? Let us train and educate our powers to do work of the highest service for Him who hath not withheld His only begotten Son from us, but in His holy life has given to every one of us a pattern by which to shape our lives. Let us look unto Jesus until an ambition is awakened in our souls to form a refined, pure, lofty character after the divine similitude. Let us press onward and upward. God expects every one who claims to be His child to reveal to the world not their natural, hereditary, sinful character, but a representation of the character of Christ. The Christian is to be in the world, but not of the world. He is not to look occasionally to the pattern, but continuously to behold the Lamb of God. He is to be careful that he make no false representation of the religion of Christ, which he has professed to accept. He is to barricade himself with high resolves to be good, and to do good as did Jesus. As he bows in humble worship before God, he makes the pledge that through the grace of Christ he will resist every temptation to evil, and will keep his morals pure. He will not violate the law of God, which is a transcript of his holy character. The truth is all important and must be carried to regions beyond, and every follower of Christ must take upon him the responsibility of doing his part in supplying the necessary funds to support the laborers in their work of lifting up the standard of truth in the dark regions where the precious light has not yet penetrated. Everyone who names the name of Christ should pray and work. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. The Spirit of God is moving upon souls in the byways and in the highways and hedges, and the human agent is to cooperate with divine intelligences in saving the souls of men. The Lord would have the light penetrate to those places where there are persons like Cornelius, whose prayers and alms are coming up as a memorial before God, who fear and love God. The precious truth for these last days is to reach these souls in order that they may join the army of workers and let light shine forth from their households to the homes of others who are in the darkness of error. There are many in our world who are living up to all the light they have and are serving God the best they know how. But in searching the Scriptures, they realize that there is a work to be done for them and for their neighbors. They are struggling to attain spiritual power, but as yet they are only beginning to see the glimmerings of greater light. They are praying with tears that God will send them the greater light which by faith they discern afar off, which they realize will increase their usefulness. We call upon our people in the name of the Lord to awaken to their duties and their responsibilities. Oh, that the power of God may move upon human hearts, and that His rich grace may set in motion the larger and smaller streams of benevolence. It is thus that the world will know that the truth of God awakens in hearts the energy and benevolence that Christ exemplified in his life. It is thus that the earth will be lightened with the glory of God. The glory of God will shine forth when everyone who has accepted the Lord Jesus, heaven's best gift, is found doing his best to save his own soul and the souls of others. The Lord has enriched the world with a gift so large, so valuable, that there is nothing more held in reserve to give. Christ has linked his interest with that of humanity, and he asks that humanity become one with him for the saving of humanity. He took the nature of man, suffered the inconvenience that humanity is subject to, endured our temptations, and became a partaker of the sorrows, griefs, and disappointments of men. He united divinity with humanity in order that humanity might become a partaker of the divine nature, and that men might become laborers together with God. He stood in the place where fallen man was to stand under the descending stroke of justice, and, innocent, he suffered for the guilty, in order that those who believe in him as their personal Savior should be accounted guiltless. What less can we do than to accept of the great salvation that has been provided, in order to show forth our gratitude and our love? Jesus Christ has been crucified among us, and he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? As recipients of so matchless a gift as eternal life through Jesus Christ, shall we not respond by gratitude in our own hearts, and seek to awaken gratitude in the hearts of our children and our neighbors? Shall we not love others as God has loved us, and by a life of missionary energy, answer the inquiry as to how we shall bear witness to our appreciation of the matchless gift of God's boundless benevolence bestowed upon us? Shall we not bear witness to the goodness of God by walking humbly, by working cheerfully, by gladly learning of Christ, and wearing His yoke? Shall we not work as He worked, and present the truth as it is in Jesus to our friends and neighbors? Christ represents Himself as the head of the church, and represents his followers as members of his body. Let every individual member of the church surrender self and all that he has, and work for the conversion of souls. The Church of God in heaven, with effective agencies, cooperates with the Church of God on the earth, and heavenly intelligences unite their sympathy, their wisdom, and power with those who make advanced movements in upbuilding the kingdom of God on the earth. No Christian is guiltless before God who is unemployed. God calls on the church to set into operation every agency and cooperate with the angels of God in urging into activity the abilities and talents which God has entrusted to His people. God requires that His agents may put forth practical, personal efforts in doing whatever He calls upon them to do, so that the truth may be set before human minds, and the Holy Spirit have an opportunity to convict and convert the soul. No man can do this part of the work. There has been but a feeble effort made to set into operation every talent in the service of God. The scheme of salvation is a wonderful science, and it is an inestimable privilege and honor to be permitted to be partners with Christ in the wonderful plan of saving the souls of men. This is the greatest honor that can be given to men, and when word comes from the heavenly courts declaring, "Ye are laborers together with God, co-workers with Jesus Christ in the reformation of character, partners in the great firm who are trading upon the Lord's goods," you are honored beyond measure. Can it be possible that any will feel that they have nothing to render back to God when He has provided so much? He has loved you with an everlasting love, and when you withhold the praise and thanksgiving with which you should respond to His love, you are practicing robbery toward God. Let expressions of praise flow forth from your lips, for the Lord asks, "Where is my praise? Where is my glory?" Parents, as the birthdays of your children come around year after year, what kind of an education are you giving your little ones? Have you endeavored to turn their thoughts to God? Have you trained them to look upon God as their heavenly Father, from whom comes down every good and perfect gift? Have you informed them that the angels have been ministering unto them all through the years, and that it would be fitting for the little ones to lay up something in store for a thank offering to God? Have you educated them to speak words of thanksgiving and praise, and trained them to send gifts of love flowing back to the bountiful provider of their food, clothing, reason, life, and above all, for the gift of His only begotten Son? Have you trained them that they must love others as God has loved them, and in their sphere deny themselves as Jesus has denied Himself in His sphere? Man cannot work in his own finite strength, or spirit, or ability, in an acceptable way to God. But when we wear the yoke of Christ, the words can be applied. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. The Lord invites human agents to become one with Him in spirit and works. The Holy Spirit, Christ's representative, is to teach the soul. No truth essential for the enlightenment and salvation of man is to be left untaught. No act of mercy, compassion, and benevolence is to be left unperformed. Every perfection of the divine nature is to come to man's assistance in the work of saving souls. Let the church arise from her stupor and go to work in earnest, leaving no field destitute of workers. Let consecrated workers be sent forth by consecrated means, and let them labor devotedly, going from house to house, opening the scriptures, and praying with families that the Spirit of God may be poured out upon His people. Shall not parents and children seek to provoke one another unto love and good works? Shall we not give to Christ our heart's best and holiest affections? Shall we not receive the gift freely given to us to save the sons and daughters of Adam? Shall we not surrender soul, body, and spirit to Christ in appreciation of the blessings bestowed upon us by His great love? Divine love has been stirred to its unfathomable depths for the sake of man. And shall the intelligences of heaven behold in the recipients of so great love a mere surface gratitude? Shall they behold them offering cheap offerings that testify to their shallow appreciation of the love of God? Such gratitude is imperceptible to the world, and will fail to awaken in the hearts of others praise and thanksgiving to God. Through the Son of God coming to our world, the infinite resources of heaven are open before us. He was the express image of God, the brightness of the Father's glory, and yet He was made flesh and dwelt among us, and lived out the laws of the kingdom of God in order that He might win to repentance and loyalty the transgressors of the law. To accomplish this, He descended from one depth of humiliation to another, in order that He might reach and rescue man. He died on the shameful cross, and when He could descend no lower, He was laid in Joseph's new tomb, crucified by those whom he came to save. Could heaven have done better than to give Christ? Could humanity have done worse than to insult, reject, and crucify the majesty of heaven? But he broke the fetters of the tomb and proclaimed over Joseph's rent sepulcher, "I am the resurrection and the life." He then ascended on high and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. To supply the place of his presence, he sent his representative, the Holy Spirit, to convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Through this agency, man was to be sanctified, to be privileged to cooperate with God for the recovery of the lost and perishing race. Mrs. E. G. White, September 24, 1894.